Well, hello everybody. Welcome into the NG podcast, where we talk to the next generation about being the next generation. I am super excited about who we have on this week, and before I introduce him, I'm just going to tell you, man. Like last night when I announced that you were going to be on, the whole room just got super excited. Like Pastor Brian. So they're really excited, but this is Brian Jones, and I'll let him talk about himself here in a second. But Pastor Brian, Brian is at the helm of the Hills Community Church, which I wanted to show you this. I have the brand covered up because you know I don't want to get in trouble. So, but I've got my it rhymes with Smoke Zero here with my nice little. Koozie that you gave me from the Hills Community Church. Keep looking up. I love that. So just so you know, I'm rocking the merch. And I've also got my Engage San Diego shirt on. I had to be ready to go for today. But Brian is at the helm of the Hills Community Church plant down there in San Marcos that we got to spend some time with over the summer, him and his family, getting to do just some ministry down there with them. And man, it was just, it really was just an incredible time. And we're excited to have you on. So Brian, how are you doing? How's the church been doing since we last were with you down there?
Yeah, I'm doing great, man. We love fall. Everything is like getting going. My wife Amy just started homeschooling our four kids. This is year 7 for homeschooling, by the way, which wow. is crazy. Got a teenager. Jacob just turned 13, so I now have two kids who are youth group age.
Nice.
And so I'm excited about that. Jacob and Sophie, they're all four of my kids are playing soccer. Jacob, Sophie, Wilson, and Luke. And then Luke, or Wilson's team doesn't have a coach. And so I volunteered last minute to coach Wilson's team, even though I'm not a soccer guy. So I'm trying to, I'm watching lots of YouTube videos, and church is going great too. We just had a big back to school Sunday where we partnered with a surf shop and bands and gave away backpacks and water bottles and skateboards. It was really fun.
Yeah, we actually, man, the big question once we got back was, did the fire department actually come to the Father's Day event that you guys had?
They did. The fire department came. They did.
Yeah. How was that event? Talk to us about it. I know we've got a lot of students from that trip that are just kind of curious about when.
Man, you guys did such a great job helping us invite people, helping invite people who had cars. We had 20 something cars. We had 200 something people. It was our biggest car show that we've ever had. It was amazing. The fire department did show up. Lots of people from the neighborhood where you guys helped us invite people. They showed up too. So we've seen a lot of influx from not just the car show, but also our Hills Kids Camp. You guys were inviting people to that too. And so thank you. Thanks for helping us get the word out. Thank you for talking to people. God used you. I know some of those conversations were really impactful in people's lives.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was a heavy week for us. We had, you know, kind of like what we talked about there, but, you know, our students really got to learn what it's like when you want to pray with someone or tell them about Jesus and you get rejected. And, but man, they were tenacious. It was just cool to kind of see them really just get excited about something. And man, that excitement was just like, God, I wish we could be there and see it and all that kind of stuff. So we're really glad that went well, that we got our steps in and got to be at least a small part of that. And even just seeing the pictures from kids camp kind of motivating us even as we went into VBS and stuff like that here. So
awesome.
So that's so awesome. So church is continuing to grow. Church is healthy. Church is doing well. What exciting things or new things are kind of happening? What's God doing? Or what are you guys looking forward to this fall?
Yeah, a couple stories that I'm just really excited about are a few people who have recently given their lives to Jesus. So there's one guy, his name is Jim. I met him 5 years ago. He's been an atheist for most of his life. His wife, Amy, actually volunteers to run the books for our church. She loves Jesus, and she's been praying for Jim for a long time. And about a month ago, Jim decided he wants to follow Jesus. And he said it was a lot because of the kindness and love that he saw from people inside of our church, which was so humbling to hear him say that. And so Jim has been following Jesus. We started doing a a one-on-one discipleship meeting every week. We have a curriculum called Foundations of Faith that we take new believers through. And then another one is this young kid. He's 19 years old. His name is Jackson. Jackson's family is Mormon. They've been Mormon for a long time, his whole life. And he just knew something was up, like it wasn't right. And so he reached out after he saw one of those He Gets Us commercials. And he reached out to our associate pastor. And they met up. And Mike is our associate pastor. Mike started meeting with Jackson, talking about scripture with him. And Jackson started going to a youth group, and he got saved. And a couple weeks ago, Jackson got baptized at the Hills. And his entire family and friends came. We probably had 15 to 20 Mormons at our church a few weeks ago to see Jackson get baptized. And so we're really excited for those stories. There's just a couple of the new stories. We got a couple people that are getting baptized on September 15th. So we're God is moving in people's lives. If you guys remember Union Co-Work, that's where we our officing. You guys went there a couple times. The manager of Union, her name is Maddie. She's getting baptized September 15th.
Oh, that's incredible.
You guys, I know you made an impression on her too. So thank you for that.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, just to hear about the revival and life change, you know, it just almost makes you want to get back down there and do more. And I know
you've
invited us. Yeah, I know you've invited us to do that. So we love it, man. We love it. Well, it's really encouraging to hear that. And to hear that you've got some youth group kids. I know we talked about, our fall retreat, that kind of stuff. But, man, the website's up if they want to come and join us for that. And just kind of we'll adopt them for that for that weekend if they want to join us. But,
love it.
But yeah, that's awesome. And what about just as you look forward to the fall, I think it'd be kind of interesting. You know, for us, we've got our routine of the Harvest Festival that we do, and we kind of look forward to that for the fall. We've got Rooted that's going to be starting up here as like a discipleship program. So great. For you, as you kind of come into the fall, what kind of things as a church do you guys look forward to for this season?
Yeah, well, we just finished our back to school Sunday. That's always a big kind of fall kickoff, and then we're doing for the second time a Mental Health Sunday. So we're doing something kind of different. It's on September 29th. We're inviting Josh Wilson, who's a kind of Christian recording artist. He's also my brother-in-law. And he came out with an EP called Mental Health. And I love Josh because he's really honest about his own struggles with anxiety. He's, I think, 5 or 7 years sober from alcoholism. And he's a really incredible guy who pursues, Jesus, his relationship with Jesus, and he also pursues practical things to help him with his mental health, and that's what he writes about. And so we're going to be sharing Josh's songs. We'll have some stories of people who have found help with mental health. And if you guys who are here remember, a lot of people here are doing really well financially, so there's not a lot of financial needs, but mental health is the number one felt need in our community. And so we're praying that we'll be able to partner with organizations. We've already got several organizations who are committed to come set up a booth at Mental Health Sunday and like be ready to receive people and help people. And so that's kind of a big outreach Sunday is our Mental Health Sunday. And then we always do, we're partnering with another church for a trunk or treat. And so awesome. Our students, and we'll even invite the guys who brought cars to the car show to come bring their cool cars to be part of the trunk or treat with a couple churches that are going to partner for that. And so we also started youth group this last Sunday night. We had 8 students. And so that's it looks awesome. A little bit different than your church. That's 8's pretty good for us because I only have 2 kids in my family that are youth group age. And the other ones, we're going and getting them, and they're inviting friends and neighbors. And you guys met a lot of our neighbors, actually. Yeah. So you could keep praying that we'll be able to reach our neighbors, that they'll keep coming to youth group. A lot of these families in our neighborhood, they will not come to church, but they'll let their kids come to our youth group, which is a huge blessing. And we love that. We love having them on Sunday afternoons.
Yeah. Any doorway that they can come through. I love it. You know, especially when you have that regional mindset. I love regional ministry where, it's not about the Hills or Living Hope or whatever, but it's, churches coming together and doing things together. Like you're doing with the Trunk or Treat. I love that. I think that's awesome. I think that's the church being the church, because I think so many times it can become a brand and you're like, oh, well, we've got to be the best brand in the area, when in reality, no, it's ministry. And so, I love that. And I love that you guys have started youth group, man. That's awesome. Hey, that's 800% growth. If you just started it, then that's 800% better than when before you had it, you know. And
let's go.
That's exciting, and we'll continue to pray for that growth. You know, as we kind of get to see God moving up here in the desert, you know, we'll continue to pray for God to continue moving down there, and just hearing those stories, I think it's just so encouraging. And I mean, my wife is a counselor. My wife's a mental health counselor, so you know. She's going to be a huge fan of you guys actually focusing on that at your church. So
yeah.
I love it, man. Well, awesome. Before we get into really, I mean, the thing people are most excited about, I've got these little cards here because last night I announced we did a little mailbag. And these are just kids that have questions for you. So they wrote down these questions for you. So before I get to these, I know you just got nervous in your seat. But before I get to these, I did want to just kind of ask just some generic questions for those that didn't go on Engage, might not know who you are and what you're doing, what the Hills is. I kind of sent you these earlier, but I would love to just kind of get into what you're doing. And I actually recently heard, I think you might appreciate this, but I recently was working with another ministry talking about, you know, how they are actually trying to impact and give more support to indigenous missionaries, right? And when we think of indigenous missionaries, those are local missionaries. We think of, you know, Africa or whatever it may be. Those are people that are, you know, operating like missionaries in their local concept where they were born and raised and know the language and customs. And I kind of raised the thought to him that, well, I mean, in reality, that's what a church planter in America is. You're an indigenous missionary, if you want to think of it that way. And so, you know, for you, as you're doing church planting in a state that's not cheap and in a state that's confused about where security comes from, I guess my first question for you, for our students to know is, what is most difficult when it comes to church planting, whether that's actually planting the church or operating as a church plant? What would you say is probably the most difficult part of that, or some of the most difficult parts of that?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think there's a lot of difficult things, so it's hard to choose one. I think I underestimated how much effort it would be to start a new church, because every position I've ever been in, I've been in ministry for over a decade before we started this church, I was operating on top of something that someone else had already built. And so I never actually, I took for granted how much went into a ministry to get it started and to get it to a place where I would come in and I would lead the ministry. So I was a worship leader, I was a young adults pastor, I was a communication pastor, I led life groups, all those positions. I didn't realize how much work had already gone into the ministry, the church, to get it started. And so coming here is just the biggest surprise is how hard it is. And then on top of that, obviously, how much people are uninterested in the things of God and church. And they're all, I mean, people are really kind and I've got great neighbors. I love them. They just couldn't be less interested in the things of God. And so it's kind of, we've had to realize that our primary ministry isn't inviting them to church. It's actually just being relational and loving them and earning the opportunity to speak into their lives, to invite them to an event, to be there for their family.
Yeah, it takes work, you know. You don't have that, we can just, you know, we'll just do this in the sanctuary, or we'll just do this in this Bible study room, or you know, really, you've got to be strategic, right? How much, when it comes to an event or something that you're wanting to do, how much planning actually goes into that kind of stuff? That really, I mean, because you've worked in established churches that have buildings. And so when it comes to actually planning things, how much more difficult is it logistically for you guys?
Yeah, I mean, even if you think about our Sunday experience, I mean, from 7 to 9 a.m., it's 100% just getting the space set up with chairs and sound system and hospitality area and signage and kids ministry. And then when we're done at, like, you know, 11:15, we're tearing down for another hour and a half, putting everything back into a trailer. Someone's putting that trailer. So a lot of effort has to be put into the setup and tear down. And I guess for other events, it's like we're already setting up and tearing down. We're doing, you know, the Sunday experience. And then we're also like adding an event to try to draw people in. And so it feels like double the effort from, you know, what it would take for like an established church with a building to do the same thing. And the funny thing is we're still like young and small. And so our volunteers are very tenacious and resilient to keep serving and doing all these awesome things.
Yeah. Well, I know that we didn't write this question down, but what would you say is probably the, how would I put this? The, what people would assume of church planting that's actually not true. I don't know how to actually say that, but things that people assume of church planting or local ministry like that is actually not true.
That's a good question. I think that before I planted a church, I was really naive. And so I thought if I did ministry the way I know it's supposed to be done, it's going to blow up overnight. So I don't know if I ever said that out loud, but looking back, I was just really naive about like, people just don't know how to do ministry. I know how to do it and we're going to go do it. And obviously, it's really hard. And so I've had to, you know, humble myself before the Lord over and over again and realize, man, I'm immature when it comes to pastoring people. You know, like I'm 37, but, you know, a lot of people have been doing this a lot longer than me, and I need to learn from their wisdom and their expertise. And I need to not be a know-it-all who thinks he can make, you know, a ministry blow up.
Man, you talked about humility. You know, I'm sure there's a lot of times where it just kind of takes humility, or God humbles you. You know, I'm sure when you're just not sure if something's going to hit, and then God just blows your expectations out of the water, that can be kind of a humbling experience, like you mentioned. You know, how do you manage that? How do you manage like expectations? Do you think expectations leading into, you know, a certain event that you're going to do, or a Sunday morning or whatever it may be, do you think those are a good thing to have? Or do you try to just not have expectations and just kind of accept whatever God's going to do?
When we started, I didn't have any expectations, and we didn't make a lot of goals. We just tried to do the thing that we were trying to do. And we realized, like, we need a real target to hit. And so actually this year we started making attendance goals, which we've never tried to do before. And so we're trying to grow, Lord willing, in the next 3 years, we'll grow to 300. And so we're averaging about 90 in the third quarter right now. So it's a pretty big task, but it's definitely not impossible. So you guys could pray for us for that goal. I don't know how you'd manage goals versus expectations.
And that leads to one of our questions, which I'll close with something, you know, that's rewarding before we get to our mailbag for you. But how do you personally judge success, right? Because you mentioned numbers, and we do too. Like we set a certain amount of numbers, for example, for baptisms this year. You know, it's really the first time maybe in a long time, or for us ever, that we've kind of set an actual number. And I think people can say, well, you're just making ministry numbers. But one of the things that we say here is that numbers are people. So numbers can't be all bad. But how do you specifically, when it comes to church planting and what you guys are doing and trying to grow and trying to really establish yourself in that community, and really bring the light of God's word to a place, how do you personally judge success when it comes to ministry?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think we've known, even since before the beginning, that the way that we see a scoreboard, like if we're keeping score, we measure success. The scoreboard is lives changed by Jesus, which can be a little bit ambiguous, but the truth is when a life is changed by Jesus, it creates this story that is exciting to tell, and it energizes everyone to hear it. And that's why we always have people tell their testimonies when they get baptized, because we really want to share the story and celebrate the life change, because that's what success is. It's not really even a certain number. It's more about the quality of life change. And so we've seen it grow over the last few years, praise God. So we're seeing more of the life change that we believe is the picture of success. But that's definitely what we're after.
Yeah, when you mentioned how it's not really quantifiable, it's more of that when you know, you know. You can see it on the faces and the people and the culture. you know, when that kind of happens. But I think that's really important for us, you know, to remember too, that, you know, you mentioned, you know, you have eight at your youth ministry and it's nothing like we have, but man, I don't know about you, but that's eight kids. Like, that's eight students, six of them that aren't your own, that are coming to hear about Jesus and that are coming to be a part of a community, families that are at least willing to let their kids go to that. Like, man, that's success. Like, that's huge. Because it can be easy to get caught up in the wrong expectations, the wrong standards, or statistics when it comes to trying to measure success of what God's doing. And man, I can tell you, we observed all kinds of stuff, that was just so incredible in terms of, just such a healthy culture when it came to what we saw, when we were with you guys down there, of just your family and the people that were willing to come and, from across the nation, you know, to come and help you guys with what you're doing. And then getting to see, even on just through social media, of the events that you guys are holding and the joy that's witnessed there, knowing that some of those people, that might be their first exposure. It would seem on a spiritual sense that God is bringing success to you all. And we pray that he continues to, and that you guys just get to have more of those stories. And you get to share them more. Because, man, you can't argue with a story. You can argue with facts and information all day, but you can't argue with stories. So what is a story, though? So, like, when you think about your whole time in Southern California kind of planting this church, what is one of your favorite stories of God moving as you guys have walked through this journey of planting the Hills Community Church?
Yeah, I think probably one of my favorite stories is a woman named Marissa who... She was disconnected from church, new to town, had just moved in. Actually, she wasn't new to town. She had just moved from another area in North County. And Holly Davila, our next gen director, was her neighbor. And so Holly met her, Marissa. They started talking. Holly invited her to her community group, started discipling her. Marissa, like, just fell in love with Jesus and the community that we were building. And she's been with us since before the beginning of our church, and she's leading a group now. She came to me 2 years ago and said, "Hey, I think God's calling me to quit my job and volunteer full time for the church."
Wow.
Which she's done an amazing job. So you guys probably met Marissa whenever you were here, but she's volunteering for our church full time, doing admin, which is funny because none of the rest of our staff have the gift of administration. So it's really helpful to have someone who knows how to organize. And she's been really a blessing to our church.
Yep, I mean, God's calling, and he's going to provide, and you never know how he's going to, so I love that. So before we get to your mailbag, my closing question for you, we talked about what's difficult, we talked about how you measure success, heard some stories, I got to hear what you guys are doing, what you have just come through, and what you're looking forward to, but what's the most rewarding part? You know, we've got a couple of kids that have, as you'll see, they're kind of struggling with a call to ministry, and it's kind of scary, whether it's you know, music ministry or pastoral ministry or even as a missionary, in the midst of all the struggle and the things that you go through, what is the most rewarding part, would you say, about church planting, about ministry in general?
I think that for someone who's in ministry full-time, and even just someone who has a day job and has given their life to Jesus, when you engage in relational discipleship, the relationships are how you make disciples. You have, like, that's the best way Jesus made disciples. Those 12 guys, he was close with them. He was with them every day. It was relational discipleship. And that's what we've been doing the last 5 years. And it's why it's been slow and it hasn't exploded overnight. But it's been the most rewarding thing by far has been the relationships that we've built along the way. And so if you're someone who's feeling like God's calling you to ministry, I want to encourage you to step into it with somebody relationally. And you're not trying to teach them. You're just following Jesus and inviting them along for the journey, being a brother or sister to them, encouraging them, challenging them, maybe showing them how to read their Bible, inviting them to church with you, inviting them to youth group with you. And that relationship, honestly, it's not just going to be the way that they become a disciple of Jesus. It's going to be the most rewarding thing that you experience.
I love it. Well, thank you so much, man. And just before we go, we've got about four questions here. Number one, one of them you've already answered, but I want to read it to you. I don't know if you remember Sky. She just said, "Hey, Brian, how's your church going? I've been praying for your youth group and that it grows." And so
Amen.
We kind of already
Thank
shared
you,
about that. Yeah.
Yeah, so, we're praying for our youth group too. Our number one prayer request for our youth group is that this year, 2024-25, we will grow from a youth group to a youth ministry. And so we want it to be a big group at the beginning, and we want to break off into, you know, boys and girls at one point. We want to break off into high school, middle school at one point. We want to keep growing and branching our youth group to do a lot of the things that you guys are already doing. And so pray for us to grow from a youth group to a youth ministry, Sky. Thank you.
Absolutely. And hey, we'll be ready for you guys when you do Engage Hesperia. We'll show you
All
guys
right.
around up here. This next question is Hi PBJ. I don't know if you know who calls you that, but I'm thinking it might be Jackson or someone. They didn't write their name on here, but this is a practical question. When you're doing ministry, how do you afford to have a family in California?
Yeah, man, it is so expensive to live here. We started before we ever moved, before I ever quit my job at the church that I was at. I started asking people to pray for us and to support my family and to support our ministry. And so if I hadn't been raising support, we would not be able to afford the ministry, because when I moved here, I was literally the only person tithing to the hills. And so I'd say if you want to do especially church planting, you need a really great base of support. I reached out to literally everyone I knew. It was really humbling to ask for support, but I did it. I asked all the churches that I knew, all the pastors that I knew, all the friends that I knew to pray for me and to support me. And it was really humbling to raise support. But whether it's church planning, maybe God's calling you to go on staff with organizations like FCA or CREW, those organizations require support raising too. And so I'll say that's how God has chosen to help us. Other guys I know, you know, they're bivocational. They're hustling. Tim, I know you are a hustler doing multiple things so that you can serve the kingdom. And that's an incredible way to serve the kingdom too, because you're building relationships even outside of your role at the church. And so there's lots of ways to do ministry. So it doesn't have to be full-time raising support like I am. It can look at a ton of different ways. Just whatever doors God opens, just walk through them boldly and just know he's got you.
Well, and trust that God's going to provide. If he called you here, then he's going to give you a place to live. And I love that. So this next one comes from a person that is kind of dealing with that whole wanting to do ministry. And she says, I'm having trouble figuring out and trying to listen to God's calling for my life. I want to go to college and get a job, but I have a feeling God might be calling me to be a missionary. I don't know if that's crazy, though. So there's not necessarily a question there, but what advice would you give to this person?
It is crazy to be a missionary. it doesn't make sense on paper. Missionary is not a career field that most parents get excited about. So I understand, like, there's tension there. And I think it's okay to really lean into that tension and seek the Lord about it and pray for him to open opportunities for you to step into missions. I mean, do another Engage trip with the youth group, and maybe you could find a mission trip to go on, maybe an international mission trip. There's even places you can go to study missions. So I'd say you keep putting feelers out. Also, you could find someone who's doing what you feel called to do, and you just ask them, hey, how did you do that? What led you to do that? And so I'll say college is a great experience. I think whatever doors God opens, just walk through them. I will say, don't go get a bunch of student loan debt and then try to be a missionary. That's going to be really, really
hard. Yeah, good advice. I love it. Yeah, well, and it's scary. I mean, it's scary to surrender to a call to ministry because there is a lot of unknown and a lot of humbling experiences and all of that. And so, you know, Pastor Brian is evidence that it can happen, that it does happen, but it happens when you trust God to provide for what you're going to need to do it. And equipping you with everything and everyone that you need, which kind of brings us to this last question. I'm not sure who it's from, even though I told them to write their names on these cards. That way they, you know, you could talk to them, but, how did it affect your family? How does it affect your family relationship, when it comes to planting churches, and how did it affect it early on when you started planting your church?
Man, yeah, it's been the biggest upheaval that our family could have ever imagined. We left both of our families and pretty much everyone we knew in Texas in 2019. We moved here about 6 months before the pandemic, and so in 2020 we were very isolated, which felt like we were even more isolated because we were so far from family and we were trying to start a new church. And I'll say it's built a lot of resilience in my kids. I think my kids have to wrestle with their faith earlier here than they would have in Texas, just because there's a lot of kids around them that don't believe. We don't have any neighbors that are believing in Jesus. I mean, a couple of them that are coming to youth group, they're getting closer. But that's been really hard on our family, is just having so few people around us that know and love Jesus. But hey, in Jesus' name, that number is going to be flipped on its head over the next generation. We're going to reach more and more people with the gospel. It's already happening, and it's just going to get exponentially better.
Yeah. Well, and we're praying for your family, because, you know, I'm sure as a husband, you want the best for your kids. You want the best for your wife. You want to be able to provide and all those things. So, we'll continue to be praying for you all, just that your family in essence becomes stronger through all of these things, and their faith, is even stronger through these things. We continue to pray for you all. And again, thank you so much for hopping on with us today. Again, I know even just trying to set this up, it seems like you've got a lot going on, but it's all for good reasons. You know, you're pursuing what God has called you to, and we're going to ask God to bless that for you. We're going to continue to pray for you here, put you and your family's picture up in our room so we remember you all, just like we remember Ryan and Stephanie out there in Colorado. And looking forward to maybe a future time where we can even just come down there for the day to work with you all.
Come on.
Just continue to do ministry with you guys. So if you want to look up more about their church, if you're listening, I know we have listeners outside of even our own church. So if you want to kind of hear more of their story, they are called the Hills Community Church. They're in San Marcos, California. They're part of the Send Network, correct? There's Send Network Church, if you know what that is, North American Mission Board. And if you want to know more about them, hop onto their website, their Instagram page to follow them. Because, man, what a great way is that, as you see things come through, just you know, take a stop, take a second, and send a prayer for what they're doing there, just as we pray for what we're doing here. And know that God's work and God's church is way bigger than just, you know, the building that you attend. And there's a lot of different ways that looks. So again, Brian, thank you so much. We miss you guys a ton. We really hope to see you guys again. And we'll be praying for you all for sure in the days and weeks and months and years to come.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. So again, this is the NG podcast. This is where we talk to the next generation about being the next generation. Check us out and share so that way more people can see what God's doing in our world and through and in our students. But my name is Pastor Tim. I'm your host, and we're signing off. Until next time, we'll see you later.